Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
I want to talk about Tom Brady.
Do you?
Whoa! Yes.
Hold on.
I can't wait.
What happens when you offer a harsh critique of a great player, unless you show up with 1,000 roses and a 50-layer cake?
That's delicious.
You're a hater.
A hater.
I hate.
Silencing the haters.
He didn't get the job done.
I just didn't believe what Tom Brady had to say.
He's the low.
Tom Brady is going to be a bum in short order.
Tom Brady is garbage.
Right now.
You're very good at watching movies and retaining numerical and sports facts.
Oh.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Try a new experiment today. And this is a talk show, right? It's a sports talk show?
It is. You know, yeah. Hold on. It was right. Yesterday.
Yes, so,
It was yesterday.
That's not what I heard.
How about this?
It's not what I heard.
The big
stopped by the barbershop this morning. I heard people saying, oh, my God, the two old cranks were pretty bad yesterday.
No, you never heard that in your life.
I heard that today, but.
Doubt it.
So why can't we do this? Why can't we take a sports talk show and make it more and more like a play-by-play broadcast?
That
wouldn't go over so well. It'd
probably death.
Yeah, you know? That wouldn't go over so well.
No? You don't think so?
No.
Because everybody seems to be trying these dramatic, you know, shifts from one thing to another.
Well, I think if you take those principles, not Lou or I, you take those principles, allowing the person to make their point, allowing the situation to breathe a little bit, and then not butting in. I think, yeah, those principles can exist here on this show.
Yeah, breathe this.
But otherwise, no. How about this guy? So Lou.
Yeah, what I do.
Lou had a very important, what Ryan called a luncheon, right? So we get on the conference call today.
What's the big deal?
No, so I'm like, okay, I'm always the first on the conference call anyway. So I'm like.
Ryan and I
end up talking for like 10 minutes.
Okay.
But nothing.
You know, so sure enough, Glenn comes on. I'm like, where's Lou? And then Ryan says, well, Lou ran into my office and said he has to get out of here. And I said, well, why? He said he had a luncheon.
I had a meeting.
I was like, what is a luncheon? What do you mean? Explain luncheon. He wouldn't go into detail. Which I'm assuming.
What did you see down the hallway? Joe Castiglione down the hallway.
Well,
I saw Joe Castiglione. Saw Mark Cannon.
Mark Cannon.
I saw, Joey. Who's getting a lot of pub these days.
And I saw another guy in a suit.
Who was
carrying a very important briefcase. Corporate.
Philadelphia.
Wow, that I've never seen before. Right. Because, I only see corporate people when there's, a big change going on.
Or when
there's,
you're in
a
trouble.
True.
So you know what that luncheon was about. You know what that luncheon was about. They're going to throw, Reamer at us and say, you don't need Lou.
No, you guys are fine without Lou. That wouldn't happen.
You're going to restructure the afternoon drive show.
Yeah. We're starting all over again.
I told you I got 5 months left. Then I'm back in the booth.
I don't care
what Reamer says in his articles.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. A lot of changes afoot. And I don't know if you feel it or not. He has been a little distant, right? He doesn't quite return your calls as quickly as possible. We've been trying to get this Christmas dinner going. He just doesn't want to commit to a time. Maybe because he feels like shame.
I would say this. There's a lot of confusion. And it starts with someone that calls himself the media guy, right?
Well, that's Alex Reamer.
Well, he is, but the guy that used to. I mean, Finn, that everybody goes to. Chad Finn, the Globe. Everybody goes to him, and it's just throwing these things out there. I woke up bombarded with these tweets and people notifications, and can't believe you guys are moving to a sports talk radio show. I'll never listen to Red Sox. The typical stupid move. And, well, it's only stupid if it was true.
Why put some facts into a story?
You know what I mean?
Why do that?
I'm like, well, Chad,
it ruins it.
And he's like, I never wrote the story. I'm like, well, you sent this tweet out saying you can confirm that this is where we're going. I mean, what else do you want people to react to? They rely on you. They think you're credible. How about this? Before you start talking about what you think this station's going to do with the broadcast, how about this, Chad? Call someone here. Try that. No, right? I mean, really? Am I off base?
No, call someone here. No, he's got to
think. And say, I'm hearing this. Are you doing this?
He's got a thing against WEI anyways.
Oh, really?
So, I mean,
I just came up with that.
I know I'm the young gay kid on the block. I'm the young kid on the block. I'm so innocent. I'm so naive. Is this how this works, Dad? Oh, my God. Really?
You're like that guy.
Yeah, that's me right there.
You're like the guy in The Bachelorette.
The Virgin. I'm the Virgin. Yeah, but I'm on the radio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I want a scarf daddy. I want a t-shirt daddy.
I hate Christmas so much.
But fiction's a lot better than nonfiction, right? So if you can.
I guess.
Yes, it's far more interesting.
Don't worry about being misleading. Misleading is kind of part of the struggle.
So talk. Can you imagine the third inning? Here we go. Albert, Rhode Island. Yeah, okay. What do you think's going on right now with Sale on the mound? Let's go. It takes a couple calls. Give us a call, 617.
You know what it would be?
What'd you think it was
going to
be?
Like, all right, let's go to Jack in Hingham. Jack? Jack, are you there?
Jack, turn your radio off, please.
Jack, yeah.
Speakerphone.
Am I on? Yeah, Jack, you're on. It's the bottom of the fifth. Oh, hey, I just saw Lou. I love you, Lou. You're my favorite guy. And why does Glenn always butt in all the time? No, this is the Red Sox game that we're doing right now. We're not actually doing. Oh,
you know why there's confusion? There's confusion because nobody's just come out and said what the change is going to be.
Right.
Okay. Now, this is where I'm sort of feeling a little bit of like Stephen A. Smith-ish.
This is one of the reasons why sometimes I'm considered a polarizing figure because I'm going to say things that other people didn't say. I ain't going to give a damn about it.
You're the only one. That's my favorite line.
He's the only one.
That's my favorite line because, you know what? I don't give a damn about it.
I don't give a damn
about it.
Here's so why that's this, you. That's you right
here's
now.
Why there's confusion. Right. Okay? They're going to hire a play-by-play guy. Just at this time, they're going to hire someone with a little more personality. Someone that's a little more conversational. Someone that doesn't squash stories to call the pitch by pitch. That's all. And you know what? That was Tim's style. And whatever. I don't have a problem with it. I only jumped in once in a while. The guy made a career out of it. But it was different than maybe what others would want. Not me. I'm just saying other people. Yeah, I'd like to continue some conversations that were kind of squashed in the radio. But that's all it is to somebody that's willing to engage more. You know, like Alex said, you ever – like Dave O'Brien, people don't, whatever, they can say what they want about Dave O'Brien, but what is it like when O'Brien and Eckersley and Remy are in the booth together?
It's great.
But why is it great?
Because it's
great
like a
because
talk
they're
show.
Calling. Why? Oh, wait, it's like a what?
It's like a talk show.
What does that mean?
Because it's personality. There are three guys talking about stuff that goes outside each individual pitch. So
that's
what
up.
That's what it is. That's what they were talking about.
That's
dude.
All.
That's all I
but
heard.
Nobody wants to come out and say it. You know, like nobody wants to come out and say they just wanted someone with a more personality. That wasn't his style, and that's okay. You know, whatever.
Well, we can reveal this, I think. They were talking to us last spring because Joe and Tim don't do every spring training game, and they were talking about sending us down.
Oh, I know.
And doing a couple of – I'm telling the truth here. This is not fiction. Okay. This is not like – this is real stuff.
Okay. I'm going to be blamed for this, by the way. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't care. You want to be an honest show or you want to be a phony show?
I want to be a sometimes
like you do on Sunday
show.
Mornings, that
sometimes,
phony show.
Sometimes
honest.
Honest
show. Well, I want to be the honest show.
Okay, go ahead.
So they were talking about us going down there and doing a couple games, doing a couple of our normal shows and a couple of games. We were going to do play-by-play. We had an analyst. I guess I was going to do the play-by-play.
Who was I?
You were going to be the goofy. You were going to be the goofy
guy. I was a sideline reporter.
That's right. Play action, which means they're going to run that action away.
You were going to be walking the crowd to the microphone.
Yes.
But they wanted to add more personality.
That's what you call batting 1,000.
And we were probably the experiment, right? They wanted to use us as the guinea pig to see if it would work. And then I think they were also going to do the same thing with the morning show, and I'm not sure the Red Sox were crazy about that.
Well, I think something happened for both venues for the
oh, that's right.
Show
something did happen for us.
I wasn't that.
I was leaving some of the fiction out.
Well, you want to be an honest show? You want to be a fake show?
No. Yeah. We're honesty here. Yeah. Okay. We come out. We talk about
so
it.
So you screwed up, and then
you guys
said,
threw me under the bus. Yeah, okay, and I took the
I
fall.
Screwed,
there
yeah.
we go.
No, I didn't throw
there
you under the bus.
A whole bunch of things going on. I mean, the process of changing Yaki way. What didn't seem right?
It was. They weren't
wasn't
ready
the right
for it.
Time.
The drama
the
wasn't working.
It wasn't
ready.
The right
wasn't
time.
Right time.
But you nailed it. They don't want to do a talk show. I've never heard them say talk show. I've heard them say we need more personality. We need to become younger. They say things like that, right? That's what I've heard. More conversation in the booth and more talking about what's going on. The same way a sports fan who's sitting at home would sit there and say, "Why is Cora pinch hitting right now?" As opposed to just not questioning the manager, specifically giving exactly what's going on. That was a ball. That was a strike. That's an out. That's it.
Well, yeah, just trying to play along with the game, you know, and having conversations. Or you see what's going on? You're hearing about the Yankees possibly in on so-and-so?
Yes.
Like those conversations. But, again,
strike two.
With what you're trying to do here.
It's an antiquated broadcast.
And
let's be honest.
People in this building probably know more of what's going on than maybe Chad Finn refuses to call anybody in this building, apparently, and just go out there and use some website who completely botched this thing and based it all on a rumor, based it all on Chad Finn, to be honest with you, and who got it wrong. And that's why a website kind of put it out there. Just think of O'Brien with Eckersley and Remy, what you like about it. Think about what you loved about Donnie O and Remy. You know, I know some people thought it was a little bit too much, you know, at times. And even those people that, like, when Donnie O left, they, I'd always love that. They're always, you know, within the game.
I think that
talking
was
talking about. I mean, it was good, right?
Wasn't that a testament to when you heard the outcry when Don Arcillo left that people were pissed because they liked the personality of him and Rendog together?
That's all that this is. Please don't confuse this thing to think that they're going to be taking phone calls in a 4-hour talk show.
Joe Castiglione
is still going to be in the booth. They're going to hire somebody with maybe what they would think is a more personable guy
something
that can engage
funny.
In conversations and continue conversations throughout a game. And that's it.
Hey, hang in there.
He's going to be a play-by-play guy.
We got Dakota and Braintree coming up in the sixth inning. Danny from Quincy in the bottom of the seventh.
We'll be right back.
Hang in.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's great because this is kind of weird because this story has gone national. I don't know if you consider Dan Le Batard. I guess he's a national guy, right?
He's on national ESPN radio.
I've heard him, you know, here and there before, but he's got wind of it, and here's his opinion.
WEEI in Boston has done something smart.
Ooh. With a chuckle.
Stugatz sitting there laughing. It's all he does, though.
Do you need me to repeat it?
I think the guys do, yeah.
Has done something smart. Here's what WEEI is doing, and it is smart because we've been telling you the sports broadcast should have been doing this kind of stuff a long time ago. Red Sox games broadcasts are now going to become talk show format. Market hates this show because they like their serious sports so much. Boston is filled with people that hate the WEEI is doing that.
See, first of all, he's got it wrong also.
He's got the story totally wrong.
You know why they got it all wrong? Because someone tweeted it out the wrong way.
Chad Finn tweeted out the wrong way. And then there's people that put out, STAA, whatever the hell they are.
I do not know who it
is. They based it on guess who? Chad Finn.
Can you hear me,
in the Boston Globe. So, I mean, all these people running with it. I get 100 notifications about how stupid of an idea this is, and I'm sitting there saying, "Yeah, it is stupid. If it was true, it'd be absolutely be stupid."
Le Batard is congratulating us for a story that is totally wrong.
He's
saying congratulations to us. He actually now must rip us because I don't think we're doing that. It's not happening, and it never was.
So when it finally does happen, right, and it's not a talk show format. What will he say? Oh, they chickened out. Oh, they didn't have the guts to go through with it. I praise them.
Well, the Red Sox pulled the plug on that one.
They don't have any balls.
Broadcasting on their sports radio stations are somewhere between awful and evil.
Yeah. So Alex Reamer posted the, he wrote up about it. Alex Reamer is the real media critic.
Why, because he talked to people
the real
in the
media
building?
Critic. That, if you want to know what's going on in the media, different shows, ratings, you follow Alex Reamer.
I live below the waist, correct.
Okay, fine. To each his own. That's fine. And so here's the post. I'll just read a little bit of this. Was on WEEI.com. WEEI Boston's legacy sports radio brand started by Glenn Ordway. How did your name get in there?
It's not in there.
How did your name get in there?
You made that right.
You know you started Sports Talk Radio?
You just made that.
Okay, blah, 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 goes on and on. The candidate selected for this dream job opportunity will sit along Red Sox Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione in the broadcast booth. The ideal candidate will have vast expertise doing play-by-play for a professional team.
Says experience,
an inherent
not expertise.
Understanding, leave me alone, of the passionate Boston sports fan base. And an innate ability to be able to describe what's happening on the field in an entertaining, I think that should be in bold print, and compelling fashion.
Frank from Gloucester, line one.
This is very important. This is extremely important, right? This is not an entry-level position.
Damn!
Only the best should apply. Then it goes on. Qualified candidates should send a resume and a link to audio samples, no attachments, please, to Joe Zarbano, program director.
Oh, how many emails?
Oh, no.
I was going to say his email out, but I just saw him. And I'm like, dude, why'd you put your email on? You're getting emails like crazy.
No, you send it to a separate email account.
I didn't know, like...
Make one up.
So I'm the best at what I do. At least I feel like I am.
Who?
I feel like I should get my own little crew together and send in like a link. Send in an audio sample. I feel like we should all try and get this job. You don't like that?
You can
idea.
Do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, no, it's going to be a talk show. It's beautiful.
Right?
Oh, my God. It's so
frustrating.
It'll
be perfect. It's just
so frustrating when you think of, like, journalism. Honestly, how can you go out there and throw an idea without talking to anybody in the building? You throw out a rumor, an incorrect fact, mislead everybody. Some site picks it up and throws out, like, somehow they're throwing out like, hey, where to send your resumes. Why? Because they're basing on a Globe report. And the guy never even talked to anybody in the building to find out what the hell it was. What was the thought? How is that even possible?
Yeah, and I don't even have
think about that.
But wait a minute, hold on. When I got fired here a few years back, I never heard from him. He never called me.
Was he the quote unquote media critic?
Yes,
at that
he
point
was.
Down? He was.
Like, never officially? Heard from
but
him.
But he probably wrote something.
No,
Did he talk to other sources.
No, he broke the story. He was having. But you don't talk to the other side. You don't try to find out what's going on.
WEI.
So what he does is he deals from one side, one view. And sometimes when you do that, the sources aren't correct when you're only dealing with one
source. The sources are disgruntled because they're not happy about the situation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You're getting it from the source who's pissed off that this came up. That's not journalism. That is not journalism. And I would say this. The problem you have with Alex Raymond, you guys can say all you want, nice things about him, and I will as well with the media column, but people aren't going to take this seriously because it's on a WEEI.com site. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because there's a conflict here. So what did management tell Alex to write? Same problem, guys.
Joe Castiglione is not going to have a baseball talk show during a Red Sox game. Okay? He's going to call the play-by-play like he always has. The difference is his partner might be more engaging. That's all. More personality.
Yes,
that's
they're
looking for.
I think that's what
a
they're
play-by-play
looking for.
Guy with more personality.
Yes.
That's all.
So we're thinking.
So what did you say at the luncheon? Did you say yes or no?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I got a personality.
Yeah, you got to talk to Steph.
I am polarized.
You're not going to take the pay cut. I know
Stephen
you.
A.
Oh, God, imagine
he's
all
not
that
taking
traveling.
The pay cut.
He doesn't want to travel. No. Why would you even? Why would you even humor them?
How long would it take you to
down
get,
with them?
How long would it take him to get his expense money back?
This is all.
You know what? That computer system would never work.
Supplemental.
Yeah, just log it into the website, Lou.
Well, you got to realize, though. I mean, there could be supplemental income.
You're not going to do it. You're not doing it. Just say no.
You could look at the off season as like opportunity cost. You know, I get the whole offseason off, so can I put a figure on that?
There's no offseason.
Why are you rationalizing it?
There's no offseason. There's no offseason.
Why don't you just sit here?
Stove right now. Yeah, you'd be in Vegas right now.
If you were smart.
It's a three-man. Here's the thing. It's a three-man show. The day the Red Sox lose in the playoffs, it becomes a three-man, 2-6 show. I come back. And then I leave you in spring training.
You're not doing it.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're not doing it.
Weekly guest, little interview.
If you're out, this is a Wolfpack. If you're out, you're out.
Oh, please. That Wolfpack is so fake. None of you guys honor the Wolfpack.
Wow.
I'm the only one who honors it.
I heard there's no support for me at all yesterday.
So you missed yesterday.
I did.
Okay.
Why'd you miss yesterday?
A little dental issue.
Oh,
gotta take
care
of.
What is it with you and the dentist?
You didn't want me coming in here yesterday.
No, we didn't.
Red Sox take 3 out of 4.
We wanted that.
You did not want that yesterday. It would have been worse than that.
What is the problem with
your teeth? I tell you what, it would have been a tribute to Tim Neverett, though, if I did that.
What is the problem with your teeth? Honestly, what is the problem? Like, you, every time I look at you, you have less teeth. You kind of look like a beaver right now.
No, I have plenty of teeth.
Total Bucky the Beaver.
What are you talking about?
Glenn the Bucky, the little crazy
Trust me,
beaver.
When you get old, the biggest problem you have is not what you think. It's like certain things won't work in your body when you get old.
There's
it's not
for
what
that.
You think.
There's a blue pill for
teeth,
that.
Teeth, that's right. Teeth are the first thing that go.
Well, I tell you what.
Teeth go.
I laughed my ass off because after the show, I was driving home and I heard you do the advertisement, you know, for your dentist.
Yeah.
And I'm like, good God, he's a good client. I mean, he's in there every freaking.
Does an excellent job.
Why don't you just get rid of all of them and put in like the new things?
Implants.
Whatever. Yeah, get rid of all of them.
I'm getting those in.
No, get
I think
rid of
we
all
got
to
get Clinic
We're doing implants. You'll get implants someday, Lou. Get ready for it.
But isn't that better than working on a different tooth every single week for you?
Not every day.
It's a long.
Every day. It's like, I can't make the call. I got to go to the dentist.
Well, the Patriots start phase 3. It's a long process.
I mean, isn't it better just to get them all fake and just say, now you got to do, all you got to do is polish them?
Get the wooden ones, like George Washington. Remember, he got the wooden teeth.
I heard you don't have to brush those things. You can just polish them.
No, you got
to
brush them.
So
trust me.
So you missed yesterday, and I'm not just to boast, but we had a really good show.
Yeah, that's all.
I mean,
heard.
We had everybody like loved it. I mean, people were patting us on the back as we left. Yeah. I mean, Rose Petal.
Well, you know what it is. They didn't expect much, and then when you gave them something, you gave them something.
We met their expectations.
I tell you what, we picked up more callers.
That's true.
What do you mean you pick up more callers?
Well, because when we said, hey, you know, Jim in the car, go ahead, you're up. We actually, even though we might have disagreed, he might have come on and said, Lou, you're an idiot. And we actually let them, like, say why.
Yeah.
Like, we actually let them get to their points.
This is liberating.
And then we would have a debate.
Yep.
And then when I was done talking, like, they would talk. Yeah. And then sometimes Christian would talk
it's
when
weird
they were
how
done.
How that works.
And it was such a weird day.
It was weird.
Save those callers for your Red Sox play-by-play broadcast, okay?
The fifth,
you can have them on there.
We're going to do calls between the fourth and the fifth. So line them up.
By the way,
read the text board.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be great.
By the way,
can you imagine what that text line would look like?
If you don't like people interrupting you, think about the callers that get on there. They're pitches, right? So you have to interrupt them to actually say that that was a strike.
Cora's going to join us after the second inning.
I like that.
From the dugout.
Strategy.
Yep.
Strategy for the third and fourth inning.
We're going to have a bench player, whoever's not active.
I like that, too.
Good.
He's going to actually be a third man in the booth for like two innings.
So that's actually a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You're not playing. What the hell?
Third man in the
baseball,
booth.
But you know what? I think Chad Finn and others are missing it. They do have to change the baseball broadcast. When I'm listening to the broadcast and in the fifth inning, Mutt's giving me a score of the Cardinals and the Padres. Is there anybody that gives a rat's ass about the Cardinals and the Padres
here we go.
In Boston in the top of the sixth inning? And I love it when he says, they've completed two in San Diego.
No, top of the first.
What?
Hey, Martin.
Top of the first was the good one. Top of the first, no score in San Diego.
I don't care. See these phones? Look at these phones. Look how quickly I can go to scores. I can get every single score.
But here's the thing. What's the scoreboard brought to you by?
That's it.
Ding, ding, ching. Right?
But you can't present content that nobody cares about and attach a sponsor to it. Take content that people actually care about and attach advertisement to it.
That's the old program director in them.
Well, first of all, you don't care about any baseball score, but could you imagine in the sixth or seventh
inning? I only care about one baseball.
Here's somebody give you San Diego and
the Cardinals. Let's check in now with an Xfinity scoreboard update, and I'm Ann Mutt.
Hey, Joe, and the Yankees start tonight. Eight back in the AL East. They're in Miami taking on the Marlins. Popping up that quick two-game series. No score in that one, bottom of the second inning.
For Phil. The advertisement obligation.
You're not missing much there, though.
Oh.
Between pitches.
No, this is a great opportunity to, I guess, maybe rebrand it. I don't think necessarily because Joe's still there and he's not going anywhere and he shouldn't. But it is going to be a great opportunity to see what it can sound like, right? Like what it can turn into. And then I guarantee you other stations, other teams will probably follow suit.
But honestly, I think you're looking into it too much. Like, I don't think there's going to be a change. There's going to be a new hire. That's all it is.
Well, no, they're hoping it's the ability. There's an old school way of doing these games.
Earlier, all Toronto.
Okay,
they
it's our
the
guy
Orioles,
from Kansas City.
Home run
they're all
one.
Over. All over the place, right? So, and those guys are stuck in their ways. That guy in Kansas City, you think he's changing the way he calls the game?
No.
No. Okay, now anyone who he works with, probably a younger guy than him because he's been embedded since, 1950.
Continues to struggle.
Okay, so there's going to be a change of just perspective.
It's
listen,
not
philosophy.
But it's not the old guys.
If you're pissed off, get pissed off. If you're angry, be angry. If you're happy, sing a song. I don't know. Sing a sonnet. I don't know what the hell it is.
No, I just think, honestly, I think this is, a strange way of just kind of everyone's going around it and everything else. And it's obvious now. I mean, you read some of the articles and Everett's comments that this company just felt like he wasn't engaging. Felt like the personality in the broadcast wasn't coming through.
Yeah, but part of
calling balls and strikes is great, but it's sort of like, okay,
see,
give
but
an opinion.
That's part of it too, though.
So-and-so is up. Are you surprised it's not a lefty? Here comes, I can't believe they're going to let this guy hit. The guy's on deck, but hey, no big deal. I mean, not criticizing, just talking along with having a conversation, maybe what the fans are maybe thinking as well.
But part of the problem,
I don't think Tim was willing to kind of give opinion.
He wasn't.
I ain't give a damn about it.
That's all.
And he's not an old guy. You were talking about.
No, that's not
that's
him.
Yeah, but that's also old school mentality.
It's
radio.
Not.
Yeah,
not.
It is.
It's new school. Go listen to the young kids. Go listen.
Tim does it?
Yeah. Go listen.
No.
If you listen to play-by-play guys across the country, they all are
all
following.
The
they're all following this old technique.
That's
hear them. You listen
it.
To them.
Yes.
We need to change the way it's done. So what happens is you get a young kid. He goes to Syracuse.
This is the way I'm supposed to do
it. He studies and play.
This
but
is the
exactly.
Way I'm supposed to talk.
This is the way I'm supposed to talk. The way
squirted
they did
off the end of the bat.
Squirted.
First.
The way they did it in the '60s and the '70s and the '80s. And I'm telling you, that's not appealing to a young audience. That's not appealing to an old audience. I think it's boring. That was Tim Neverett's problem. Tim Neverett's problem was he kept on reading from the press guide, the media guide. This guy's favorite group is this. He's got a brother that does this.
There's
he comes from this town.
I don't care. There's a place
there
for that,
She's
though.
Right.
There's a place for that. And you're right. I did listen to a lot of broadcasts around the country. And radio broadcasts, you start thinking, you listen to people around, and it is like, holy smokes.
Young, but
like talking about putting you to
but Josh
sleep.
Sterling's an old guy.
John
I'm talking about
Carlo.
He's like 85. I'm talking about the young kids that are doing it today.
Wow,
are doing it old school, well, and they shouldn't be.
I agree. With
somebody needs to come up with a different approach.
And it's not. I don't have anything against Tim Never. Like I barely knew him. Every time I saw him, he was nice to me.
He'd be nice enough
to
guy.
Me. He was nice,
right?
But
to Lou,
what? Nice,
to
I just
Lou.
Said he was nice to me.
He was fine with
so,
me.
But he was just he was
look
just,
at Lou. Look at him trying to write it off.
No, I just thought that that's
lying like. Chad Finn like, right now.
What he was doing
I don't
was
think he's
basically
crazy about having me in the booth. But
no, he's you're a threat.
Well, you were a threat. You were a threat.
I wasn't though.
But in his mind, you were. And play-by-play people, maybe the most insecure people in our business.
If you hang it, we'll bang it.
Yeah,
which is fine.
That was good when he did that line.
Yeah,
bang
well,
it.
Well, I guess my thing with him, like I said, is like I just figured he was just. This is the way it's supposed to sound. So he's not doing anything wrong. This is the product.
You know what you need?
You go into that business, this is the way you're supposed to stay in the box.
He's been in it a long time. He's been successful. He's been in different markets. You're right. He had his style. And there were conversations about diving into this and that. And he's like, he didn't feel like that was his place, which is fine. That's just him. You know what I mean? So, and I got to be honest with you. A lot of guys around the country, that's exactly how it is as well. So, I mean, that was just it. There was a disagreement in just going a little bit deeper here or there. And I thought Dave O'Brien did a great job with it.
Yep.
I love Dave on the radio. I know people criticize him on TV. I don't get it. I don't know what they're looking for. But again, when you got him and you got Eckersley and you got Remy in the booth, that is an unbelievable booth. That is entertaining. And why? I mean, they're still calling balls and strikes. But why are you entertained when those two are there?
It's the personality.
Yeah, because Eck is throwing out lingo and Remy, and they're talking about some stories when they played together.
Joking.
And they're joking about this, they're joking about that within the game.
Double dandy right there.
That's all you're looking for.
Yeah, they're not reading the media guide. They're not doing that. So they give you a totally different broadcast, and I think that's what I'm not trying to put words in the company, but I think that's what they were talking about. We need more personality.
Back to back.
Well,
funk.
Why don't you?
But you'd be surprised. Even these young kids that are out there that are doing it, and you know, as I said, Lou listens to some of these things. I do as well. Most of them doing the same thing that guys have done for 50, 60 years.
Been treated like the like a morning zoo wacky.
Man,
radio
you can't do that.
Hour,
then it's a little
right?
too. No, that's not what you're looking. That's not what you're looking for. You know who's? You know who would be able to handle
there
this?
There you go.
You know who would be able to handle it?
Pitch.
The only man that could break the mold of anything in society, and that would be Stephen A. Smith. See, he's the only one that could break the mold because he's the only one brave enough to delve in. He's got courage.
I mean, it's like most of us just sit on the sideline and hope somebody does something about
not Stephen A.
some injustice.
No.
Stephen A.?
Nope.
Oh, cannonball.
Yep.
Here I come.
Everybody knows that I'm a bottom feeder.
That's right. Let me just cap this real quick because you missed yesterday. We were supposed to do the, I don't know what we were calling it, from three to
Let It Breathe Hour.
Let It Breathe Hour.
Where I don't interrupt.
We were supposed to do that. We're now doing that today.
3 o'clock.
From 3 to 4.
Right.
It doesn't mean you can't talk. Like, we definitely want to hear your opinion, as bad as it may be. We want to hear it. But
why are you
lying? Promise that you're not going to cut us off. You're not going to be a jerk to the callers, okay? And that's all we ask. It's not a lot, right? Are you down? Or you're sad. Mm. You're sad. Now.
No.
You're sad. I made you sad.
I told you before. And why didn't you learn anything in sensitivity training? You know I have a disease. Interrupteritis. You know I have it.
A real thing,
you know I have it. It's a real thing. And you know I'm on medication. I have a doctor's note here. And you know I have it, so why do you make fun of it? Didn't you learn your lesson in sensitivity training? That was hour six. Interrupteritis. Do not criticize anybody who's got it.
Time. The fact is that you would so bad, you so badly want that to be a real affliction.
It is.
So
why can't I make
the,
why can't,
interrupting is an affliction? No, it isn't.
I can't make up an affliction. Everybody else in society is doing it
well,
now.
That's true.
So
that
why can't
true.
I?
Okay, you
what,
know
what?
What
are you denying me? Because I'm the fat old white guy. What are
you're
you
right.
doing?
You're right. I have to.
Thank you.
I have to. You have a hashtag?
I have a
What's
disease.
Your hashtag?
Hashtag
what,
help
what
me.
Hashtag, yeah. Good
hashtag
luck.
Me first.
Yeah, please. Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right, though. I forgot about that. Like, I can't make fun of you anymore. You really would have a case against me, too.
I would have a case.
You would.
Oh, yeah. I would destroy
you. You would need a doctor's note, though.
I can get a doctor's note.
Oh, I bet you can.
Just buy a round of drinks.
What is that about?
Something.
What is that? He was clearing your throat.
All right, you ready for this? Let's take a break.
We'll get to the phone calls.
We got a bunch to get to. Lou's little hero there, Joe Kelly.
Fighting Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly is gone. We'll get to that. We got a lot of Patriot stuff to get to. More people are attacking Tom Brady. I don't know why they picked this week. It's a stupid week to go at Tom Brady, but they're doing it. We'll get to all of that and the Celtics as well right here on OMF.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Austin was that base runner at second base. Looked like he got a piece of Brock Holt. The bench is cleared after that. And that's why he gets drilled here. He slams the bat. Now he's making a move. And here he comes on the run. And now fisticuffs as Kelly's being tackled and punches being thrown. And the Red Sox and Yankees are at it again.
Fight Club, Joe Kelly. Anybody surprised that a lot of the Red Sox, what should we call them, fanatics, suck-ups, whatever, I thought they might be a little pissed that Joe Kelly is not here because they told me how great he was down the stretch, how great he was in the postseason. And today they're basically saying, hey, good luck, Joe. Have a great time out in L.A. You were the best. You were wonderful, whatever.
Thanks for the World Series.
Yeah. Is anybody concerned about this?
As far as him not being a Red Sox?
I would have liked him. I don't know if the third year kind of scared him away, the Red Sox. I don't know. Because everything I saw was like 218, 220 even. But 3 years, $25 million. You know, $8 million a year for 3 years for this guy. I don't know. Did he just want to go home? I mean, he's a Cali kid.
Maybe.
You know, and
yeah.
The Dodgers, obviously a good team. They're going to be right in the thick of things. So I'm happy for him. But I just think $8 million, yeah. I mean, I don't think they're done. You know, Ottavino's still out there. I think Robertson's still out there. I think they need to get one of these guys that were out there. Familia re-signed with the Mets, I believe. So they got to get one of them and then maybe try to find the arms that, you know, that you don't know of that could help you out in that bullpen. But I think you need to get one of them. Now Joe Kelly's off, Familia's off, so it leaves a few guys.
So they're bringing in volume, and they're going with, if we bring a lot of guys in and one of them works out to be our ninth inning guy and another one works out to be our eighth inning guy, we're in great shape. Is there anybody that's a little bit concerned about that?
Well, what volume are they bringing in, though?
Well, they're bringing in...
Not yet.
No, but that's what they're planning on doing, right?
Yes.
That's what you think they're planning on doing. They're not going to spend, contrary to what Evan Drellick wrote again today, he still thinks there's a chance with Kimbrel. I don't know where he's coming from. Pretty much we've heard the story, and I don't think Dombrowski in any way denied it, that they're looking to cut some payroll here, are they not?
Yeah, I don't know where he was going with that. I don't know if it was just an idea of keep an eye on the market. Now you're hearing Kimbrel wants $100 million, 6 years, $100 million. So I don't know why you would ever think that they were going to bring him back at that price, 6 years, basically 16 a year, 16 and a half. I could see them going out and trying to bring in a guy like Robertson or Ottavino for a two-year, $16, $18 million deal, you know, eight or nine per, and then, as you were saying, try to find a couple guys, bring them into camp, and see what you got.
I thought Dombrowski was pretty clear in that they did not want to spend that type of money, what, you know, a Kimbrel would cost you, $16-plus million a year on that position. But I also thought he could have clearly denied those stories that were out there about Bradley, about Porcello, about Bogarts. I don't think he did that.
Dave, can you give us a list of players you're going to trade to cut your payroll? Apparently that's the big
Yeah, I've heard those tweets, I guess, out there. I'd say we're not driven by that fact, you know, that approach. I would say that you always listen to anything. You can always get better. I know long-term we're not going to be able to sign all of our players. That brings upon conversations and people calling you about various things. But I would say our primary focus is to try to win a world championship in 2019, to try to repeat.
So we kind of gave you the debate for both sides there. Right?
Yeah,
that's what he did. He gave you the debate for both sides.
Yeah, I like Pete too. I don't believe it, but you know these rumors.
Dave, can you give us a list of players you're going to trade to cut your payroll?
Laugh with me, Dave.
Unbelievable. Listen, chuckle fest.
Look at the shoes you're wearing.
Depending on how this offseason goes, if they bring in a reliever or not, you're going to hear a lot about Durbin Feltman. You know, their number one pick, who they think was the best closer in the draft last year, that maybe he could help at some point. Another kid, Travis Lakins, a kid that was down in AAA. Darwinson Hernandez. So you're going to start hearing, I think he's more of a starter, though. You're going to start hearing some of these names they have in the system, which is great. They're starting to, you know, this will be the year where maybe you see some arms in that AA, AAA that could help the big club. But I would still like to add another, you know, a guy that has some closing experience to this group of Brazier and Barnes. I'd like to add two of them and just sort of say, we got a closer amongst us. You know, one of these four guys can step up and we'll go from there. I don't want to just rely on some of these kids you have in the system. You got to sort of get someone for that big league club.
Yeah, right. But the Joe Kelly signing, I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't really move the needle for me. Like, I just like, I mean, he had his, he was, he's basically another example of a guy benefiting from a strong postseason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he benefits from the team success, his opportunities, give him credit, made the best of him. If he doesn't have that opportunity, he's not getting this type of contract, not even close. He proved that he can be a stud in the postseason. And I guess if you look at his regular season, especially this year, as inconsistent as he's been, doesn't matter. It's just, it's like, okay, started great, struggled in the beginning, didn't know what the hell he was going to do, and became a stud.
Like, yeah, see, I just think that he, I would like to brought him back, because I think that there was something there that was tangible in why he turned it around. You know, there was an issue maybe of Delvangie talked about in September as far as maybe tipping pitches. They got rid of a slider. So I've always felt like when he gets his breaking ball over for strikes and he gives just the curveball, so you don't have to concentrate on two breaking balls. It was one breaking ball, which he threw for strikes. The changeup was a difference maker with that gas. And the curveball changeup made the gas even better. So I think that there was something tangible that it sort of clicked for Joe Kelly, and I would have liked to reap the benefits the next 2 or 3 years after seeing an inconsistent one for 3 or 4 years. So it had a feeling of an Andrew Miller to me, and we'll see how it goes in L.A. for him, though.
So there's a couple things that bug me about Major League Baseball. And
A couple.
Or
did you say a couple crazy. Hundred?
No, not a couple. That's not a lot. The fact that Scott Boras is somehow like the Pied Piper of everything baseball in the offseason. I know he's got a lot of clients, but did you see just the media scrum that surrounded him yesterday? Like it was a mess.
Well, he was having a Christmas party.
I mean, he's just talking all this nonsense and pupping, obviously propping up all his players, some true, some not true. What I liked, what I respected, was the fact that they brought Carrot Top out also.
You did like that, huh?
I did like that. Like,
what was Carrot Top doing?
Just like, if you're in Vegas, what do you try and get every local act that's out there? You know, what's next? A magician? You know, like, but Carrot Top was actually on there. I mean, it didn't make any sense.
It's perfect. Yeah. It's perfect. All right. So, how in the world does a guy start with prop comedy? Like, it's not the first thing that pops in the mind when you're a comedian and you're growing up.
No.
So where does that come from?
How about a better question? How does someone start, like, weighing 110 pounds and turn into you?
He's Jack.
Yes, he is. But I'll tell you what, he's scary to look at.
He's very scary to look at.
Because it just doesn't look human.
That's what I mean.
I think
he's
had
black eyeliner on.
Yeah, he's had some facial work.
And he is abnormally jacked.
Growth, you know, weird growth stuff going on.
And maybe, I don't know what it is. It's weird. Like, watching him, you're like, wow, is that like...
He's scary.
He is scary. And maybe comedy helps him.
So what else are they going to do? It's Vegas. What are you going to bring? Tigers and lions to these?
They don't have that show anymore.
Major League Baseball Network. What do you do? MLB
Carrot
Network.
Top is like your go to guy. I don't know. It's
pretty weak. It's would you say that C or D celebrity?
I would say C-.
Yeah.
In Vegas, in Vegas, as far as Vegas acts. Like, where is he on the list of great acts in Vegas? Like, isn't Britney Spears? You saw Britney Spears.
Celine Dion appeared.
Probably just above Britney, because she sucked. That was the worst show ever. I never walked out of a show halfway through it. My wife wanted to go badly. She was like, you ready? I'm like, oh, I've been ready since that first freaking song.
Yeah, you took one for the team.
Oh, my literally. God. But we left early. It was beautiful.
It left early. Here's where Scott Boras is 100% correct. Major League Baseball has got to do something about it. And Lou, we talked about this last week. Put dates on this thing. We start free agency on November whatever. We end free agency on a certain period. That you have to have a window to do this, because all you're doing is giving all of the power to Scott Boras.
That wasn't Boras. You're talking about Dombrowski said this.
Dombrowski said it.
Boras
is the problem with it.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know what, though?
Yeah.
Well,
that was my other problem.
Yeah.
But you stepped all over me.
I understand what Dave is saying, because usually there's like a rush to get a job and to get your money. You know, but Boras has shown in the past that, hey, if you wait teams out, will get the better deal, which can slow everything down, right? Because there's teams out there that say, we're in on Machado, we're in on Harper. You know, plan B, C, and D, and E got a hold right now. You know, Phillies, we might be getting Machado or Harper or both. And if we don't, we'll be interested in you. But right now, we can't commit because we don't know what's going on. Scott's sort of holding this up. But you tell me, how do you put a deadline on it? How does that work?
You can.
How?
Well, you can put a window when this stuff is available. So, you know, they do it in football. There's a window on all of this. So
not
you,
really.
Well, there is because
free agency starts and it never ends.
Well, there is a period where you can where you tag into franchise tag and the what do they call the
well,
second?
Well, that's different though.
Yeah.
No, but I like his point of view though. So instead of like, let's do everybody a favor, and like when you have a deadline, it forces people to make decisions and not drag things out.
All right,
out.
So let me just take it. So let's just pick a day. December 20th is the deadline. For what? All free agents to sign?
No, that would be too early. I would say something like...
Yeah, it's going to be later than that.
Okay, fine. Okay, January 25th. January 25th is a deadline for all free agents to sign. January 24th, it's 10 p.m., and you're on the phone call with Bryce Harper. Hey, you got 2 hours to sign. So we're going to offer you this. Well, no, I'm going to go to another team. Oh, you got 2 hours to sign. You got 1 hour to sign. Bryce, you got 30 minutes to sign a contract or what?
Well, you
or
don't, no,
or
no,
you don't play this
but
year?
No, but you're,
no you I mean, can't do that.
Bryce Harper's a terrible example because he would end up having two different people battling against for his services. So the just as frantic and anxious as he would be, so would the other team.
All right, so,
so they would
guy.
Be forced to do it also.
There's another guy that's looking for 3 years. You know, and there might be a team that would be interested in him if somebody falls out of the mix. The last hour, the last 30 minutes will be utter chaos. And I think a lot of players, maybe not the superstars, will get a crap load less because time would run out on them. And teams would say, take it or leave it, you got 30 minutes.
Or they'd get too
take
much.
Take it or leave it, you got 10 minutes.
Or they'd get more. It would work. I mean, listen, it's not a – I like the fact that that's where his head's at because it gets kind of like nutty how long this gets dragged out. And I get it. Maybe he'd rather go on vacation. Maybe he doesn't want to deal with this all year because he would like to have some sort of off season. Maybe that's, if you're going to read into it, maybe that's what it is.
I think the big problem is that, you know, the lack of salary cap, and it's just the nature of the sport.
That's what changes.
So, in other words, in the NBA, like how long does the process really need to be played out? Because if you don't sign with your team and you're a max player, you're going to get 4 and 140 from somebody. Right? But that's all they can offer you. So now, I mean, you're like, all right, listen, find out the teams that are willing to give me 4 and 140. Let's meet with them, and then I'll make my decision. With baseball, it's sort of like, all right, what are you going to give me? I got 4 and 140 early offer, but we know all the teams will dive in, you know, because these guys, the Yankees, you know, there's no salary cap. They might go crazy. The Phillies might go crazy. This team might go crazy. So, you know, just wait. Hold out. Wait it out. You know, and the prices will go up. So the fact that the salaries can vary so much, they just wait it out.
Yeah, I think the salary cap is a huge factor in it, Lou, and that's why you see other sports, you get to a certain point where you've got so much money to spend.
Football, you only got so much cap room, so you know there's certain teams. Le'Veon Bell probably already knows that there's certain teams that are out.
Yeah, but it's not good for marketing for baseball. I mean, the J.D. Martinez thing went how long last year?
February.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I understand what he's saying, but in the end, did it really hurt J.D. Martinez?
Yeah.
How? How do you know? What do you mean how?
Well, he got an opt out. But
2 years he was with an option.
No, look at the season he had. He was underpaid this year.
Okay, you don't think he'll
he's got an opt out.
Obviously.
They all have opt outs. They all have opt outs.
And I love that about Major League
as
Baseball.
A player, sure, but not as a team, not as a league.
And when you really think about it, there should be no cap in any sport whatsoever.
Oh, you're crazy.
No,
well, you're crazy. You have to be.
I mean, does WEEI does Google any other job? Do they say, listen, we are only allowed? No, is it though? It's business, right?
No, it's different. You're working for. Well, I'll tell you why. You're working for a league in which you have 30 or 32 teams. Okay, the league is the overall entity, and then you have 30 or 32 franchises. One franchise is playing in Boston, New York, or L.A. Standard of living is way up here. Others are playing in San Antonio, and they're playing in Indianapolis, and they're playing down here, and they have a whole different set of money.
It's a competitive advantage, is what it is, for the teams who have a lot of money.
It makes all the sense in the world.
So, Dallas, I get it. But when you really think about it, so you're telling me I can only make X amount of dollars no matter how good I am?
And stop bitching about the athletes.
Does that make sense to you? When you think about it, does that really make sense? So you're telling me I can only make X amount of dollars? I'm the best at that, but you're going to cap me because of what?
No, you can go play in Europe if you want. You go play in China if you want.
I'm just saying,
play
like, I know why they do it, but
play
when you think
Korea
about it,
if you want.
It's like you're a profession. You're in a profession that gives you a ceiling, and no other job has a ceiling.
I'm telling you.
No other job is going to sit there and say, you know what? Here at IBM,
Christian, I was with you.
We only make X amount of dollars.
I was with you. When they first started talking about salary cap stuff years ago in these sports, I was totally against that. I couldn't have been more wrong. It really has done wonders for these sports, and it's also a problem baseball has right now. It's really a problem.
Baseball,
because you know what? Because you know what? I'm happy to be a crappy team attracting $15,000 a night or $12,000 a night in Tampa Bay. I can go out and sign a guy. I just signed a guy, right? I just signed a pitcher for a couple of years. He might be 34, 35 years old, but I'm good. And they're making money down there in Tampa Bay, and nobody goes to the games. They could have moved that franchise somewhere else, maybe San Antonio or somewhere where they could do a much better job, but they're fine with it.
They need a floor is what they need.
Right.
I mean, they need a floor. But your point about the ops out are bad, that's the new age. You're going to see all these contracts. Like, look at Giancarlo Stanton's. You know, look at David Price's. This is what you're going to see because the game is getting younger. Because there's more 20, 21-year-old guys in the big leagues, whereas years before, maybe the average rookie was like 23, 24. So now they're all hitting free agent at 26, like Machado and Harper, like Xander Bogaerts. So old school, it was like, yo, you're a free agent at 29, 30, and you cash in. Now they're 26 and they're free agents.
No, I think opt-outs are fabulous.
So what you're going to
do
is you're going to see, like Bryce Harper, they're going to be insurance policies on the end of a four-year deal. You know, you're going to see a 10-year deal for $400 million. Really, all that matters is the first four, because he's going to want to opt out at 30. Because $35, $38 million that he's going to get, and Machado's going to get for the next 4 years, in 4 years, that highest priced player is going to now be getting $48. So they're going to sit there and say, I don't want to negotiate one deal at 26. I don't want a 10-year deal. I want a 4-year deal. But I'll call it 10 so I can opt in case I get blow out.
It's a one-way contract.
I love it.
This is what's going to happen.
It's a one-way contract.
The players
with all these guys. It's great for the players. But it's not good for the sport.
Renegotiate at 29-30.
They'll be fine. Okay, but what I like about it is the fact that you can sign just like a football player. Their contracts, if they do anything when their CBA comes up, it would be to kind of find a consultant and have that person be for Major League Baseball and try to figure out how they can take some of those principles and incorporate them into the NFL system where, okay, I'll sign a 5-year deal. Okay, you want to lower my salary or something like that, whatever it is. After 2 years, I have an option. Okay, you can either commit – you know, fully at this price or give me an option after 2 years. And then we got business, right? If I'm doing great, I can opt out. You can pay me what I'm worth.
True, but the difference is that with MLB players union and the owners, it's you know, the owners still have more power, but it's still more of an even playing field than the NFL. The NFL owners control it. The NFL players will never stand up for that. The NFL players will never strike to get something like that put in their CBA.
It'll never happen.
It'll never happen in a million years, where it would in baseball.
Yeah, baseball thanks to Marvin Miller, who's not in the Hall of Fame and probably should be.
But it's more of the nature of the sport. It's more of thanks to, you know, a guy like Benintendi really does care about, you know, year 6 through 10 in the big leagues. Really does care about, because he knows. Most of these guys know in baseball they can have a 10-year career. Right. They can have a 6-7-year career in football. They don't give a rat's ass about year 7 or 8 because they might not be there anymore. You know what I mean? So they want to get that one contract because the careers are so much shorter. There's no guarantee. In baseball, you can play for 18 years.
Even rookies. Like, I know they did the rookie scale. I know we're going to take a break. But think about it. So they put this cap for all these rookies. And some of these rookies are outplaying their current contracts. But they can't do anything about it. And so if you actually exceed expectations – and, you know, there's a long career there.
You have no arbitration.
You should be none. And that's why arbitration. Listen, I know this is what we originally signed. We need to go to arbitration because I'm worth more now. And if they incorporate that, I think you'd have a lot of people happy. Okay, now I'm getting paid what I'm worth.
Yeah. Because a big league player is under a 6-year contract.
Yeah.
3 years, they can give you $500,000 every year, and then you go to arbitration. Maybe get a little bit more of what you're worth.
It's not happening in the NFL. Get used to it. It won't happen.
Just
and there's no
arbitration.
Fan support. There's no fan support. The fans like the non-guaranteed contracts.
What do you mean the fans like the non-guaranteed
contracts? Fans like non-guaranteed contracts.
Wait, hold on. Why would you say that? Why would a fan like a non-guaranteed
You want to take phone
contract?
Calls and say what?
Said it. You explain to me. Just do me a favor. Why would a fan like a non-guaranteed contract?
Because the team is not held up on signing a bunch of bad players and paying the price for the next 5 or 6 years. That's why. They don't.
I hate baseball fans, and I hate football fans.
You hate football fans?
Thinking that way.
Is that
yeah.
on the record now?
Lock it in.
Is that on the record? Did you hear that, Chad Finn? He hates football fans. All right, we get to the phone calls coming up next. 617-779-7937.
Association. Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I think the absence of a hard cap is a factor, that you don't have one. I know that not all three of the others have, but they have some form of a cap. Do you think that plays a factor?
Could. I think it's more just, you know, it's amazing how people work towards deadlines. When you have deadlines, people work towards them. And there's no deadline. So, I mean, it's a situation where if you have the signing period in the summer draft, we've been where the deadline's the first day of school. I've been in that part. Then it went to August 15th. Now it's 1 month. Whatever it is, whatever the deadline was, people work towards that. And I have a feeling it would be the same way in this regard.
See, I agree with him. I don't know how you do it, how you establish it. Maybe you get to a certain period where you break down type A free agents, type B free agents, type C. You know, you put them in a different category. And the type A, you have so till a certain point in which teams can sign those type of players. And then if you do sign the player, maybe you can't trade that player for 2-3 years or whatever. I don't know. But you come up with some type of system. I think Dombrowski is right about this. And I think they hurt themselves, Lou, from a marketing standpoint.
Well, they
right
definitely
now,
do that.
Should be
I
a
would
frenzy.
Say if you know, using your example, let's just say type A, because they would have to go first, correct? Like the
right.
big dogs.
Right.
You're not going to have... you know, if type A is like the Harpers and the Machados, you're not going to have them go last because teams are going to want to get those guys out of the way so they can figure out where they fall after that. And that would bring, it would be a great excitement. I mean, people would be all week long. They'd be sitting there talking about, okay, they're going to end up somewhere this week, you know, and it would speed the process up. But again, I go back to that last like 30 minutes to an hour. Like, I don't know how that plays out. If you don't sign, you don't get to play next year.
Right. Yeah, no, it's good wishing. That ain't gonna happen though. I think it would just be too hard to implement. And you know how you gonna do it, right? So the deadline's here.
Then you'd be talking about collusion.
Yeah, I like the idea though. I like the fact that you just drag these things out so long. I just
it does hurt.
It just drives me nuts.
It does hurt. It hurts like the marketing of the sport. There's no question about it. You know, the off season in football, that first week. The first week of the NBA, those first 2 weeks, three
Phenomenal.
Weeks, it's over. Like, but after the first 2 weeks, it's over. You're like, yeah. But you know what? It was great. And every day we're talking about, oh, did you see who signed here? Did you see who signed? This is unbelievable. This is great. We're talking about it all the time. Now, baseball, the season ends, and it's like, ooh, where's Harper going to end up? I don't know. Talk to me in January. We'll get back to it later. Yeah, we'll find out.
And that's a Boris thing. That is, and this is really what maybe Major League Baseball needs to think about. How do somehow take some power away from him? Now, I mean, good luck because he controls so much of the market because he has so many of so many big time players. I don't know what the list is. Like, I mean, as far as like, and I'm sure he's got people helping him, right? It's not like he's the only
He's got a company.
He's got
an
army. He's got an army of employees.
You know what really? You know what it might have?
He's just a face.
Bunch of young lawyers
yeah.
sitting.
I really
there.
Do think that what changed all of it, like as far as you talk about this timeline, because I don't think it was always like this, and it's not like Boris just started doing this a couple years ago. What changed all of it, I thought, was like back, I think it was 2012, 11, 10, something like that, 12? Prince Fielder.
He signed,
he was a free agent. He got past the winter meetings, got past Christmas, and everybody's like, you got to be kidding me. January, mid-January. Scott's not going to get close to what he wants for Prince Fielder. Talking $200 million. No chance. January 26th. He signed $214 million deal January 26th. And I think because of that, you know, Scott sits there and says, guys, look what I did with Prince back in 2012. It's January 26th. Everybody told me I was crazy to walk out of the winter meetings without a contract for this guy. They were nuts when they said you're not going to get it if you don't get it by Christmas or January. January 26th, I got him $214 million. Bryce, relax. We're going to get your money. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I'm going to get it just like I got Prince. 6 years ago, right? And it's just, I think like that signing kind of really just changed
so,
some of Scott's philosophies as far as waiting it out.
In the old days.
I can do it.
In the old days, the first few days, there used to be a frenzy because you'd have to get the big dog right out of the gate. Remember those days?
Yep.
You get him right
not,
out of the gate.
Miss him.
And you miss him.
Man, I'm telling you, Prince Fielder, in my mind, changed a crap load
but
years
also,
ago.
I mean, in order to, if you're going to get that person that you're talking about, like you got to have one team that's a little bit more aggressive than the other one. Right? I mean, because if you have two teams going for the
right conference. Right now, the Yankees seem to be aggressive
right
now.
We're close to the market. If you take it or leave it, okay. And then you'll force the other team's hand. That's how you would get these guys to sign faster. You know, if say someone says take it or leave it and you sit there and maybe they're, what, $3 million under what you want it, $5 million maybe, then you're really going to sit there and risk going into, you know, what, later in the year?
Right. All right, to the phone calls we go. Brian's in Pembroke. What's up, Brian?
Yeah, Glenn, you do not have the pulse of the people on the guarantee versus non-guarantee. I can tell you that.
With the NFL?
Yeah.
I'll beg to differ with you. I think the fans would be against this.
Well, here's the people. Right. Let's listen to the people.
Go ahead.
It's not 3 o'clock. Oh, it is 3.
The voice of the people, right? Most of your audience is probably making between 60 and 80 grand a year. They don't understand the guaranteed contracts of baseball. Like, it makes no sense to the average person that Sandoval is still getting paid. The flip side of that is it doesn't make any sense for a football player to get injured and then they just get nothing. So somewhere in between.
They do get paid.
Yeah.
You get it, though.
If you get injured, you get paid. But go ahead.
You understand what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, if you don't play up to your contract, they release you.
Right.
Yeah.
So something in between is what makes sense to most people. But you have two opposite ends of the spectrum. And neither one of them is right.
And you know,
wait a minute. Hold on. Are you playing in the middle? What are you talking about? I don't think fans would go along with the guaranteed contract. I think of all the leagues, I think fans like the NFL the most because if a player on your team is underperforming, it's very simple. You dump that guy. You're not holding on to him for 4 years.
That doesn't really seem right either, though.
Most
people realize.
Oh, we got a couple of ex-athletes in here. We're going to take the athlete's point of view, which I respect and understand. But I'm saying
this is a fan right here, Brian.
But I would. Well, he's one. He's one of millions out
there, right next door.
Terrific place, especially this time of the year.
Zap him.
I think from a player's standpoint,
starts next block.
No, it's next block.
Starts next block.
It's not the next. Stop it. You don't even know.
Means 3 to 4.
You don't know radio. Stop it. You have no clue what you're talking about.
You're gonna sit there and change the rules as we're in the process.
But I'm telling you that if I'm a player. Are you kidding me? Sure, I want a guaranteed contract. I think the fans like this right now because your team is not stuck for 5 years, 6 years, like you are 8 years, 10 years, like you are with baseball, like the Baltimore Orioles with Chris Davis's contract.
Maybe the middle of the road is the NBA. And even though it's guaranteed, okay, because the best player in the league can sign a contract for how long? Four. Unless it's with his own team, right? Five. Four
right.
years.
Right.
So imagine if there was no 4-year limit in the NBA. You know, I mean, then now you'd be signing garbage at the end of a contract. But in the NBA, if you sign a superstar, Kevin Durant, I'm pretty sure for the next 4 years he's gonna be a pretty good player. So in the NBA, you know, the you're guaranteeing the money, but ownership is only putting a 4-year risk on it. For the most part in the NBA, the guy's gonna be a productive player for 4 years unless he tweaks his knee, and then you're wondering why you're paying average Al max money. Other than that, you know, for the most part, imagine you went to baseball and said, you know what, you could sign Bryce Harper, 4-year deal. So now you don't have to worry about this 10-year contract. So the last 3 or 4 years, you're eating some guy like Pablo Sandoval who made himself out of a league.
Well, we're talking about football. With basketball, you only have to sign 3 or 4 guys, and you've got your team. The rest of the guys aren't making an awful lot of money. With football, you have 53 players. You have a big, huge roster, and you could get locked in with some bad contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a huge difference. Billy is in Manchester. Hey, Billy.
This is a riveting contract talk. Hopefully, next segment we'll do NHL. Listen, I want to go back to a point made. You know, it's refreshing to not have Glenn on, but you lose gems like this. I mean, this is Sacramento B level times 5. Okay, quote.
How many times are you going to bring that up, Billy?
But you let him go.
No, I'm not going to let him go.
Let him go. Stop being so sensitive.
I'm not going to let him go.
You read the Sacramento Bee. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
No, if that day we were talking about something that dealt with Sacramento, you're going to read the local paper. That's what you're going to do, right? So go ahead, Billy. Make your point.
Right. 233, which is actually 223 because of the 10-day delay you guys have. But anyways, quote, I had to write this down, and I have it right here. And you know, Lou, I listen to a lot of out-of-market baseball radio broadcasts. And
no, I said Lou does.
They're all the same.
I said Lou does.
You said I, and I just
right. I listen to some. Lou listens to a lot of them because Lou and I have had this conversation before. Name off the one. Air,
name,
Billy.
Name never the happened. Last one. Name the last out of market baseball radio broadcast you listen to. I want to know. The audience needs to know this.
The last one? I don't know. Maybe the Yankees during the Yankee series when we were actually playing.
So I listened a little bit to Detroit radio this morning.
Okay. Billy, we're in this business. What business are you in, Billy?
Making fun of you.
No, okay, great. You got a good future there,
hey,
my
Billy,
friend.
Call back in 5 minutes, please.
He's the same guy that calls every other day.
He doesn't like you.
That's fine. He doesn't like me.
I can't wait for this next hour.
Billy, you riled him up.
But Billy doesn't understand. If you're in our business and you're not listening to these other broadcasts, you got a problem, right?
Yeah.
Don't you?
Well, I mean, I listen to it.
It's hard to. I'm a podcast guy.
You listen to a lot of stuff.
Yes. But yes, I have listened to a lot of. The MLB app is amazing for that. You can listen to games driving home. You know, and for different reasons. And I've listened to a few of them. Just to see what it's
like. XM, you can listen to all this stuff.
This is how we found this guy.
High drive, deep left field.
That's how we found him. That's how we found him. We were listening.
We're like, wait a second. Listen. Play that back.
Christian was listening.
But wait a minute. But here's where Billy doesn't understand it. And he can, you know, go at me all he wants. If you're in our business, our job is to actually listen to other stuff
and read
that's going
the Sacramento
on
Bee.
And read other newspapers and other stuff online. That's what our job is, Billy.
You know the one that I hate though. When you do go to those outer market papers,
you do the same thing.
Yeah, and they
treat, nobody that does more of this than you do. Yeah.
So and then they treat you like the Boston Globe. They make you pay for paywall. They made me pay 49 cents for an article one time.
Yeah.
And they still send me alerts.
Like the Washington Post.
The alerts. And the articles suck. No, it was like the Orlando Sentinel. That's what it was.
I would say
the
this.
The Orlando freaking Sentinel.
Of all the people on the show, and Ryan will attest, it is this guy over here, Fourier, who finds the most obscure stories somewhere. And a lot of them are good.
Found to just
a lot of them are good. I gotta give you credit.
I don't know about that last one he found. We'll get to that later.
Which one was that?
Oh, we got one. We got one today. Oh, okay. You found it. We got one today.
The candy?
Yeah, we got one.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we got one. We got one of the 5 o'clock hours.
The best gift idea.
It's pretty good.
Going right now.
It's pretty good. Fourier did some research.
It's going to be a hit come Valentine's Day.
Out of market.
We should get them to sponsor the
show.
This
is a good one. Okay. All right. I'm not going to interrupt for the next hour.
I can't wait for this. By the way, to just the listeners, Ordway for the next hour is not going to interrupt you when you call. Okay. He's not going to interrupt either one of us. So I want 5 lines. And I want you to make it as hard as possible for him not to interrupt.
Yeah,
it's a disease, Lou.
So wait, what topic are we doing?
It is a disease.
Hold on, give me a topic. Are we going back into Stephen A? What are we doing? We're going to go Stephen A, what are we doing?
I can't interrupt, so it's up to you.
No, it doesn't mean you can't talk. Okay,
what,
you just
you
can't
mean?
Interrupt.
What do you mean?
Oh, God. See, this
I'll let you on your own. You can go on your own.
He's going to go into a shell. He'll go into a shell.
I never go into a shell.
He's so sensitive.
I'm never going into a shell.
His feelings are hurt.
Let's see how this goes.
That won't happen. It is a disease, though, and you guys have to understand that. All right, 617-779-7937 to the phone calls next.